welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. Again, thank you to Barry Walker from First National Bank. We talked about reverse mortgages. Really interesting, and sounds like a good situation for so many people age 62 or older. And now, for the first of the year, starting off 2012, every Tuesday from 3 to 4, it is my old friends from the Green Roundtable, Eric Haas and Frank Clementi. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Dave.
Wait a minute. Eric, off there, you said you can't say Happy New Year unless it's on New Year's. I tricked you. You said Happy New Year.
I just said that's what I heard. I ran into somebody that was telling me that it's only, you know, it's only New Year's on New Year's.
Oh, that's a good point.
So, you know, what are you saying Happy New Year's for?
Happy New Day.
There you go.
Something like that. So did you guys have a great New Year's?
Yeah, we had a nice low-key one. It was good, though. Very good.
Yes.
So you didn't what did you guys do? Anything?
Well, I just spent a little time with my mother. That's what I did.
Oh, that's good. And
we didn't do much. Went out to dinner, saw a movie, kind of the same old. But I was talking to Frank before the show, and he was telling me about his wild and crazy days in New York City.
Right at the Times Square.
I saw that. That ball go up and down with, who was that, Fox News for some reason. I don't know what they were doing there, but
I think everybody's there. Everybody's got to send someone to New York.
And they were showing people, like, kissing. And
yeah.
I thought you're just supposed to do a little kiss at New Year's. I saw people, like, they were, Fox News had the camera on people that were, it looked like minutes and months and hours.
They were really enjoying the new year.
Yeah, I was surprised. I didn't know that's how you do it. Is that how you do it?
It's fun. To be in Times Square is really fun.
And what do you remember most?
The crowds of people, their friendliness, the exuberance, the excitement that people were feeling, and when they were shouting.
Shouting?
Was it like 20 below when you were there?
Ooh, yeah.
Or was it, you know, cold. Like a nice balmy 40?
I don't know. It didn't feel cold when I was there. But
there's a big crowd. There's like hundreds of thousands of people.
And at 400 BTUs per person, it gets pretty warm.
What's BTUs? I'm afraid to ask. But anyway, so was there like, did you kiss everyone or something? Is that how it works? Your neighbors that you don't know?
No, you just say hello and friends scream and say
that's
hi.
That's it?
Yeah.
Then who wants to go there? Okay. So
you're describing something else, I think, Dave.
Yes,
where,
Dave.
You know,
Dave,
a bunch
got
of people, close quarters, kissing everyone. I'm not sure what it is. But
that's probably one of your parties, Dave.
Oh, are we talking New Year's Eve parties or right. New Year's Times Square parties? Now, what movie did you see?
Gosh, what movie did I see? I saw Mission Impossible.
Oh, wow. How was
with,
it?
What's his name?
It was okay, you know.
Tom Cruise.
I think I believe the hype a little bit. You get bombarded with all these things, how it's the greatest movie ever. We went and saw it, and it was,
wow.
I mean, it was okay.
I saw the girl, not on New Year's, but the girl with the dragon tattoo.
We saw that like a week earlier, too.
How do you like that? Interesting, right?
It was pretty good.
A little dark, but...
I read the book, so I was a little disappointed there, too.
Now, let me ask you, because it's three books or something.
Right. I've read the first two. I haven't finished the third
one
yet.
The same? If they make another movie, which I suspect they will it be the same characters? Because I like that girl with all the...
Yeah, I assume so. What's funny is, as soon as those books came out, they made all three books in Sweden. So you can go get the subtitled versions if you want and see all three of the movies now. Yeah.
Yeah, because it was in Sweden, right?
Yeah.
So it's the same. So that girl will still be a repeat.
Yeah. She's at least in the book, too, she's the main character.
Wow,
she was
smart, right?
Yeah. She's like even smarter in the next book.
It's incredible. She had like a photographic memory and she was tough. And I felt sad that when she bought. Oh, I shouldn't spoil
it. Yeah, that's true.
Don't spoil it, Dave.
I won't spoil it, but you know the part I'm talking about at the end.
Yeah, you got sad when she died in the first 5 minutes of the film.
Did she die? I was looking. That must have been her sister. But it was a very technically well done and a very good acting, and it held my attention.
That's difficult.
I know. I didn't know who done it, as they call it.
Are you like whodunits?
No, not really. But it was a very good movie.
Yeah.
Did you notice something about that genre?
No.
Well, you notice that in the past few years, they've made women as heroes, and more we're going to movies where women are the heroes. They're martial arts experts. They're CIA experts. They're all kinds of things.
Like Kill Bill Volume 1 and 2?
There you go.
Remember? Who was that? Daryl Hannah and Uma Thurman?
Uma Thurman.
That was sort of cool, right? What, that fight with Daryl Hannah?
Yeah,
wow.
That was a good sword fight.
In other words, if you got to the movies 15 years ago, you wouldn't see that, where the women are the powerhouses.
Well, she was in this movie, I thought.
Yeah, definitely.
Man, wow, she was good. I really started to like her.
Good.
Think I have a chance? Okay.
Just, what does that do for you, Dave?
Oh, yeah, do some core transformation on me. I might need it after this. All right, so we're going to talk about green New Year's resolutions because people need, right, to think green this year. And
that's right.
Thereafter, no question about it, right?
Right. So we've got a whole slew of them. I don't know if we'll get to them all, but we'll start off and we'll see, kind of see what everyone's thinking.
And we're going beyond the light bulb business.
Beyond the light bulb?
Yes. Changing light bulbs.
Oh, yes. Or hugging trees.
Or okay. Hugging trees,
it's yes. A whole different thing.
That is one of the resolutions. Change at least one light bulb to an LED or compact fluorescent.
Oh, no.
That's kind of way at the end, though. But since Frank said that, I just had to bring it up.
All right. So change a light bulb.
Yeah. So
change your light bulb, change your life.
Oh, I like that.
There's a theme right there.
You need to go copyright that.
Yes.
So we got these from the Daily Green, which is an online green newspaper. And they do this every year. They come out with 15 of them. So we'll kind of run through. Some of these are like really obvious. Some of them are, you know, not so obvious. But the first one, you know, avoid waste, recycle. They give us little stats and figures with everything. And it's kind of interesting. What they talk about is that for every trash can of waste you put outside for the trash collector, about 70 trash cans of waste are used in order to create that trash. So it just lets you know that, hey, every time you're wasting something, you're not just wasting the actual, you know, food item or packaging or whatever it is. There was so much time and energy and effort and water and resources that was put into that to get it to your doorstep so you could waste it, that you need to think about that you're wasting more than just that actual piece that you as the consumer got a hold of.
So what you're saying is that when you have two trash cans, one the regular, one the recycle, have conscious thought and utilize the recycle as best you can.
Right. And their other little stat is energy saved from recycling a single aluminum can operate a television for 3 hours. So just, hey, one
really?
More thing. Yeah, I thought it was a little surprise.
How
I thought
that,
that was a little much. But
how does that work?
I think they're going back and they're looking at, hey, if you had to go mine that aluminum from that one can, you know, if you look at the water that was used, the energy that was used, the equipment that was used to get that little bit of aluminum out and then get that to the factory to turn it into an aluminum can, as opposed to, hey, we'll recycle it, it'll go straight to the factory and turn into an aluminum can.
That is big.
Yeah, so
this is a huge thing.
And that's when they talk about embodied energy, that energy and resources that are in kind of inherently in
They're
that
built,
object.
Yeah, this built in or captured, whatever you want to call
right.
it.
Right. So there's a lot of stuff like that.
Nice.
So number two, this is one everyone's been hearing about for years. You know, give up your plastic bags.
Yeah.
The good thing is here they're trying to associate cost with it. So it costs you $1 to get a kind of a heavy duty or cloth bag. Doesn't cost much. But what do we got here? 12 million barrels of oil were used to make 88.5 billion plastic bags consumed in the United States last year.
Oh, wow.
So just something to think about. Hey, if we can keep reusing them. Now, the other thing, too, is you can ask for a paper, but it does take a lot of energy. In the long run, it's still less energy is
intensive,
used.
Yeah.
Yes, when mm-hmm. when you get a cloth bag or a plastic bag that you can use over and over again.
So why don't they mandate this? Why are there still plastic bags? I mean, why doesn't the government step in and say, hey, you have to use a cloth bag or a paper bag?
I think it's coming. I want to say I've heard in California they're trying to pass that exact legislation, or they tried last year. They didn't quite make it. You know, I think it's something that's coming very soon. And I don't understand maybe just charging more for it. You know, when we were talking about in Germany
right.
last fall,
right.
everyone carries their own bags because they're going to get charged. And it's just, hey, once
behavior
you start
modification.
Doing that, absolutely.
Well, there's been studies that some studies that say that there really isn't that much of a difference when you start to add the manufacturer and the very things that he's talking about, that there wasn't that much difference. And when I went to some of the supermarkets, I asked the fellow that, and he says, you know, it really doesn't make any difference which one you choose. So,
in terms of paper and plastic?
Paper, no, in terms of...
bringing your own bag?
The green aspect of it and the recycle of it. So.
Well, I think the other aspect is the plastic bags are supposed to be recyclable. But mm-hmm. when you look at a lot of the recycling facilities, the bags end up getting so wet or part of other trash that has to get taken out, or they get ripped, or there's a lot of machines that are supposed to be able to recycle them, but they get caught. So a lot of them get pulled out of the recycling stream and they get sent to the garbage dump. Well, where they're never going to biodegrade and they're going to sit there forever. So there's kind of that aspect
to
it as well.
They never
they'll biodegrade, but it takes some ungodly amount, you know, 100,000 years or something for one of those.
Yeah, but according to the Mayan, what is it called? The Mayan
calendar? Calendar, yes.
2012.
So recycling will...
We've got less than a year.
Yeah, that's right. What's up with that, Frank? Come on, you know about this stuff.
You mean because I lived over there?
Well, that's what I was thinking.
Did you spend the new year there too?
Why did you stop doing the calendar? Why did it just stop? That's what I'm thinking. Why don't we take a quick break and when we come back, we'll continue our discussion on green
resolutions.
New Year's resolutions. This is really good tips and helps the planet, helps save money. It helps in so many different ways. Changes behaviors, thinking styles. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Michael Dixon. Internationally acclaimed metropolitan opera baritone Dmitri Varostovsky will perform a one-time-only opera gala concert with the Phoenix Opera Orchestra and Chorus Tuesday, January 10th at the Orpheum Theater. We've seen the sensational singer in the Met's live HD broadcasts. Now hear him live in concert January 10th. It'll be the musical event of the season. Get tickets now at the Orpheum box office and at phoenixopera.org.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
How healthy is your business? Is your business plan helping your bottom line? Do you even have a business plan? Barbara Haggerty of Mind Your Own Business has over 25 years of helping businesses of all kinds and sizes to get them where their owners want them to go. She uses her special wellness check process. It's to assess where your business is now and then uses her own unique 7 steps business excellence plan to expand and grow your business into something to be proud of. Barbara will take a holistic or a global appreciation view of your company, and that's absolutely going to make a difference to your bottom line. So call now and schedule a wellness check and watch your business grow. 602-750-4518. That's Barbara Haggerty of Mind Your Own Business. 602-750-4518.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is the Green Roundtable every first Tuesday from 3 to 4, starring Eric Koss and Frank Clemente, who is leaving the studio. No, he's back.
He's coming.
Okay.
He's going.
What's he doing? Oh, there he is.
It's exciting because it's a new year.
So we're talking about Green New Year's resolutions. There's never a better time. Actually, I guess every day is a good time to think green, actually. But we're going to start the new year off with New Year's resolutions the green way. What else we got, Eric? We got some more.
Here's another easy standby. Stop buying bottled water. Everybody's heard this one. Basically, it takes about 26 bottles of water to produce the plastic container that your water comes in.
Really?
So when you think about it that way, it's kind of not a great thing to do. Plus, you've got BPA. I want to say it's bisphenol A. I can't remember if that's what it is. I always say BPA, but that's a chemical that can leach from plastic bottles. Another reason you don't want to do it. And then plus, all the bottles end up in landfills. You know, so one more reason not to do it.
Wow. And you should get a filter then, right?
Yeah, you can get a filter, buy yourself an aluminum water bottle, you know, fill it up yourself. And the other thing they kind of mention here is that don't drink out of plastics with a little 3, 6, or 7 on the underside of it. That those are sort of the worst ones that have the most leaching.
So really? 3, 6, or 7?
Yeah, in terms of their recycling number.
3, 6, or 7.
So what are those numbers represent? Some kind of a degree of stay away from it type of thing?
No, those are actually the recycling type of plastic it is. So, you know, like when Phoenix says, hey, we recycle 2, 3, whatever. This is just telling you if it can be recycled or not. But that also, an offshoot of that is you know what kind of plastic it is. And the higher BPH levels are in the 3, 6, and 7.
Oh, I see.
Wow.
So you want to stay away from those.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Now, here's an easy one. I just tried this today. They recommended stop receiving unwanted catalogs. I went to a website.
That's a tough one.
Well, it's funny. Catalogchoice.org. I tried it out today to see if it worked. And it's pretty easy. You just sign up. It's free. But you have to know which manufacturer is sending you stuff.
Yes, there you go.
Like, I get this catalog that's 2 inches thick from a company called Uline. So I put them in there. I should hopefully stop getting this catalog.
Oh,
and
mate,
if I do, we can save 53 million trees and 56 billion gallons of water.
Per person?
That's what they're saying. That's what this website has saved so far by people signing up and sort of eliminating these catalogs.
That's amazing, though.
So, yeah, a lot of trees. And, again, trees, water.
How about unwanted facts? Ever get unwanted facts?
Oh, yeah. Not as much, though. Ever since I went to eFacts, I cut a lot out.
I should do that then.
I think that's that dying technology.
Yeah.
All those unwanted facts you're now getting in your email box.
Yeah.
Yes, that's where it's headed.
Yes, that's definitely where it's going.
Well, that's exciting.
All right, we're going to skip a couple here. I'm going to go to one that I've been pretty good on the ones we've talked about so far. But a big one I've always thought about and I've never done is giving up the clothes dryer. You know, I always feel bad. I'm here in Phoenix, and I dry almost all my clothes, and it's like, geez, we've got more sunlight. It's hotter and drier out here than anywhere else in the country, and I'm drying all my clothes inside. So that's a big one that I think everybody could do a little bit.
So what do you do instead? You have a clothesline, and you just keep it out on the
line.
You
go to the roof.
Like the old,
yeah.
Go to the roof.
Yeah, put your clothesline on the roof. That's the way they do it in Mexico City when I lived down there.
Where do you put it on the roof?
They have clotheslines on the roof.
Oh, on the roof. How about
I don't mean lay it on the roof, David.
Yeah, that's what I thought you meant. How about this? Go to the mattresses. Ever hear of that? It's a famous movie.
No.
Oh, that's a boxing movie.
No, it was similar. The Godfather. Remember when that guy said, we got to go to the mattresses. That means there's going to be a war among the families.
Yeah.
You remember that?
It's a fight.
Yeah, you remember that.
Well, in boxing, you go to the mat, so that's the same, similar.
Oh,
in wrestling,
that's right.
You know.
Oh, he's right. Okay, go to the roof.
Go to the roof, go to the mattress, go to wherever you want. Just dry your clothes somewhere other than a dryer.
It sort of makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah. Here the fact is that, they talk about how they believe over-drying clothes. So not just drying it, but, hey, putting it in for that extra 15 minutes more than you need. Can cost some families as much as $70,000 a year over their lifetimes.
Really?
Pretty hard to believe.
$70,000 a year, you said?
No, lifetime.
Lifetime.
Oh, okay.
They're saying the average family can waste up to $34 a month.
No wonder my kids come over to dry their clothes.
That's right.
That means I'm paying $280,000 more because of the four
kids.
Jeez,
think of the things you could be doing.
Wow, like Europe, Hawaii.
You need to get one of those coin-operated washing machines at home.
Yeah. Wow, this is very cool.
So next on their list, check for leaks in your toilet. They talk about how many people lose anywhere from 5 to 500 gallons a day, possibly.
Where does it go?
Well, that's the thing about toilets. It's a silent leak. They fill themselves back up, right? So if your flapper is leaking on your toilet, it'll leak down, go down in your sewer line, but your water filler will just keep filling your toilet up.
Oh, man, that's not right.
So if you listen, you can usually hear it, but what they recommend is put a few drops of vegetable dye in the top of your toilet compartment.
So you can see it.
And then if it's leaking down into the toilet bowl, you'll notice that color getting in there, and then hey, I got to get a new toilet flapper.
Oh, wow. Is that hard to how do you get one of those?
Home Depot. Yeah.
How do you put one in? I don't even know where you'd put it.
I am confident that even you could figure it out.
I doubt it. No, really. I don't think so.
The simplified version.
Guys, what are you doing next weekend? I'm talking to two people that know houses intimately. Am I right?
Yes, we're very intimate with housing.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Okay.
Now, this is one we tried to do, but I was vetoed by my wife.
Uh-huh.
Give up toilet paper.
Oh,
well, not give up toilet paper, give up conventional toilet paper.
What's unconventional toilet paper?
Recycled toilet paper. I've been told it's a little itchy. It's not quite as soft.
Well, if you go to some of the, Scandinavia, where they have toilets that never use any paper of any kind.
Yeah, they have those things, whatever they're called.
Yes.
I had a client that was making those things. I don't know what it was called, but it was like a water thing.
Oh, a bidet?
Well, not quite that, but similar.
Okay.
No, really. And they thought it'd revolutionize everything in the United States and internationally, but especially the U.S. But I saw it. They showed me their prototype, and it looked pretty good.
Did you try it?
I can't remember if it worked.
I think that's something you'd remember.
But it costs more, though. These toilets cost more.
Yeah, but it's made sense to me, but I don't know what happened. Obviously, that was like 15 years ago or 20 years ago, and nothing's happened.
According to the Daily Green, they say if every family in the United States went out and bought 1 4-pack of 260-sheet recycled bath tissue, that it would eliminate 60,600 pounds of chlorine pollution and preserve 356 million gallons of fresh water and save nearly a million trees.
Wow.
Just by replacing 1 pack a year. So imagine if you replaced it permanently, the amount of trees and water
Fantastic.
And chemicals we could save.
So do you ever think it'll come back, these water concept things? Too expensive,
yeah,
you're thinking.
I don't think so.
No?
I think it's sort of ingrained in our culture. And
yeah.
It's just one more thing you got to find room for in the bathroom and hook up and... But you never know. You never know. Maybe you could start it.
I don't know where they went. They left. I thought they had a good idea. They said they went to hotels. They're all going to install it. But then the maintenance on that could be a problem and a bunch of stuff. All right.
Yeah. There's all kinds of ramifications.
Yeah. I think you're right. Okay, Mr. Hart.
So, and this one kind of goes along with that. That's giving up, they're saying giving up paper towels. Try to use as many regular cloths as you can.
Oh.
This is something we've been trying to do, but for whatever reason, I'm just...
I love those paper towels.
I know. I don't know what it is, and it's very hard for me to get over that, but we're slowly getting in the cloths, and apparently, the statistics on this is that we could save 544,000 trees if every time you were going to go for a paper towel, if you went for a cloth. Yeah, you still have to have some paper towels around. But, for the most part, if you can just start using cloth and cloth napkins, that can help a lot in terms of
what would Famous Dave's do, that where they have that on the table, those gray or brown paper towels?
Famous Dave, he might have to just go to use the recycled paper towels.
Have you had Famous Dave's before?
I had it a long time ago.
It's pretty good ribs. Do you eat ribs, Frank?
Nope.
Okay. He won't know that.
Well, and I want to make sure that we're able to get to it because it's at the end of the list here.
Yeah.
There's two things. One, they kind of go hand in hand. One is eat and grow locally.
Yes.
Which I know Frank is a big fan of.
Yeah.
And number two is be a vegetarian.
Yes.
Oh.
And one of the things they suggest, even if you can't bring yourself to be a vegetarian, try a meatless Monday or something like that where you just cut down a little bit.
Does that include no chicken and
yes, Dave. Chickens are not vegetables.
How about fish? How about fish? No, you hear some vegetarians that they'll eat chickens and
or they'll eat eggs and cheese.
Or eggs and cheese. Well, does that qualify?
No. Yes, you have the vegetarians, and then you have the people who are dairy people, you know, and then the ones who are pure. The vegans are the ones who don't eat dairy.
So where do you fall in?
I'm a vegetarian. So, in other words, I'll have an egg or two and things like that, but I don't eat meat, chicken, fish, or anything like that.
But cheese?
I do have cheese, yes.
There we go, ladies and gentlemen.
So according to Newsweek, when we're talking about beef, it takes 2,500 gallons of water to produce 1 pound of beef. As opposed to it takes 25 gallons to produce 1 pound of wheat. So there's a huge discrepancy in the time, amount of resources, the amount of land. And then when you get into sort of, okay, what do we do with all the waste products from animals and the methane gas they produce? I'm sure you could.
And what do you do what do you do with all the job losses and stuff like that?
Yeah.
See, these are the things that impact this concept. So, you know.
How much water to produce one egg?
No, you'll have to ask the chicken then.
I know. What happened first, the chicken or the egg?
Chicken or the egg or the glass of water.
Yeah.
The egg came first.
Did it really?
Yes.
Not the chicken?
No.
You heard it here first, folks. We need some.
And that's because we have the eggplant.
Oh. Yeah, that was a good one. Wow. So do you have any others?
We've got a bunch, but I think we do have a guest for later on the show, so we'll have to come back to these when we get a chance. But, you know, the biggest thing, we talk about it all the time, is just pick one thing and try to do it and kind of go from there.
It makes sense, and I guess it involves behavioral changes and thinking changes.
And beliefs, yeah.
And beliefs, and maybe we'll have a show on those topics one time and how to do that.
Right.
How do you change your behaviors? Well, let's take a quick break, and we'll go right into our guest, Richard Zimmerman, coming on in just about 2 minutes. This is the Green Roundtable starring Eric Koss and Frank Clementi, and we'll be right back.
Weidenauer, Heinten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Weidenauer, Heinten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Hello, this is Michael Dixon. Internationally acclaimed metropolitan opera baritone Dmitri Varostovsky will perform a one-time-only opera gala concert with the Phoenix Opera Orchestra and Chorus Tuesday, January 10th at the Orpheum Theater. We've seen the sensational singer in the Met's live HD broadcasts. Now hear him live in concert January 10th. It'll be the musical event of the season. Get tickets now at the Orpheum box office and at phoenixopera.org.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
Hey And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is the Green Roundtable every first Tuesday of the month from 3 to 4, starring Eric Koss and Frank Clementi. And we just went over some Green New Year's resolutions. If you want to hear a replay of this, you can go to breakradioshow.com, go to archives under the Green Roundtable, and actually can hear any of the shows from a long time ago, actually, probably well over a year already. And actually, probably 2 years, right, Mr. Frank? Or Eric and Frank, you've been, Frank was first, and then Eric, he came on. It's been a while, a year and a half for you, at least.
Yeah, I think about a year and a half.
And Frank, a couple years. A
couple of years, two and a half.
Two and a half years.
Once you get sucked in, you just can't get out.
I know. It's like a potato chip. You just have to have another one.
Apparently.
And Frank said two and a half, like Two and a Half Men, that show with Charlie, ex-Charlie Sheen.
Frank is our Charlie Sheen.
Yeah, he's our Charlie Sheen. Anyway, Eric, you have a great guest. Evidently, Frank and Eric both know this gentleman. So, Eric, if you can do the honors.
Yeah, today we're lucky enough to have Richard Zimmerman. He's from Sonoran Lead for Homes. And, hey, Richard, thanks for being here. How you doing?
Great, thank you.
And I want to let you, why don't you explain just a little bit about your company and what you guys do?
Well, I'm a Lead for Home provider and part of the U.S. Green Building Council, which is an international sustainable brand. They have a number of different programs from commercial to residential to neighborhood development and school sustainable programs. The website is usgbc.org. You'll find listings, checklists, and a lot of additional information about the international organization on that site. My specific responsibilities are I'm retained by the client, as you know, Eric, because we're doing a project together, phenomenal project together, actually. Retained by the clients to take them through the certification process. So I get involved usually with the design team at the schematic level all the way through to through construction. Our major responsibility is the verification of all the documentation required for the LEED certification. And so my responsibility is to take them from schematic through design all the way through construction and be involved with the actual audit, an audit call with U.S. Green Building Council to certify the project.
And for people that don't know, LEED stands for Leadership in Energy and Environmental Design. And it's basically where, how would you describe it? You can get your car certified. You'd have your car worked on by a certified mechanic or something like this. Well, here it's where you get a home that's been designed and built, and it meets certain standards to be considered green or sustainable in certain areas of the design and construction of the home. And what Richard really does is he works with the architect and the builder to basically make sure that those things are going in. So we're working on a project, and if we say that, yeah, we're going to put solar on the roof, well, he checks and goes, well, I don't see solar on your drawings. Well, he makes sure it's on the drawings. He verifies it's on the drawings, and then he verifies that it actually got put in when it's all said and done. So you're not, getting a home or a project that somebody or a developer talked about all these great things they were going to do. And then you find out later on, well, geez, you only did two or three of them. No, he's kind of there. He's sort of where the rubber meets the road, I guess you'd say, to make sure that it's getting certified properly. Will that kind of sum it up?
Absolutely. And the main responsibility is, let me say it this way. The most frequently asked question is why? Why certification? And been involved in LEED for Homes, getting involved as a pilot provider 6 years ago, and we actually developed the rating system before that. One of the founding members of City of Scottsdale's Green Building Program, and that's why I had the pleasure of working with Frank way back then, and a number of our Anthony Floyd and a lot of the founding members of the Scottsdale Green Building Program. But the real focus of my work is to get someone through the certification, but we've dealt with dozens of builders and dozens of homeowners and multifamily developers, all of which claim to be green. Mm-hmm. And one of the important things is asking for third-party certification. And one of the things we're talking about today is, not only informative, but also to be helpful. And, again, we all ask questions. I think a lot of people in the environmental community are what I call label readers. especially this guy. We want to know what it's made of, who made it, the raw materials, the process, the manufacturing process. We look at sustainability all the way through the process, and it begins with asking questions. And anybody out in the audience can ask questions, I'm sure you do, about food, about processes, about, you know, everything that touches your family's lives. But when it comes to construction, there's so many different decisions to make, as many as 2,000 to 3,000. And I think, Eric, on your project, probably about 6,000 to 8,000 different decisions to make, components, materials, assemblies, working with contractors. It gets very involved. And one of the things that any of the sustainable third-party certifications will deliver, whether it is the Scottsdale Green Building Program, whether it's the NEHB Green Building Program, which Eric is, I know, been looking at, whether it is, you know, Environments for Living, whether it, we do quite a bit of work in California where there's Cal Green and there's Title 24, which is the state of California energy code. There's a lot of different types of programs. A lot of your utilities, in addition, have programs. And so at the end of the day, we navigate through those different programs on behalf of the client. For example, we have a project downtown downtown Phoenix. It's Lawson McKinley, 5th Avenue in McKinley. The developer is Gorman. It's Acanthus Architecture is the architectural team involved. And again, it's affordable housing. So there are probably six or seven different I did mention Gorman. Gorman and Company are the developers on it, and excellent affordable housing developer here in town. But not only there are a number of different financial partners, if you will, in the funding, but our particular brand, the lead brand, when you look at any of the City of Phoenix affordable housing grant programs, they have a scoring system, and the lead brand allows that developer to get more points towards the scoring system. So, again, we do two things, Eric, and you alluded to it earlier, but first we deliver sustainability, but more important is when people talk about being green or sustainable, you know, we provide the third-party certification of that process.
Now, Richard,
go ahead, Frank.
Thank you, Dave. I appreciate that. what is the so far you've been talking about the value to the builder and the architect. How does this help the customer? What is the end result for the customer?
That was my question.
No,
very
no,
nicely
no. Done. That's your question.
But we thought
I,
of it
I could take
way.
The answer for that, possibly, when you two are, you know, thank goodness you're on different sides of the table.
Yeah, that's right. I'm kicking them right now under
this,
the table.
This happens once a month. That must be a long set of legs.
Yeah, that's why we can only do it once a month.
Yes. The customer, first of all, Frank, we have a lot of different customers. Specifically, we just completed a—
Well, the builder is a customer, too. I mean the homeowner, the consumer.
The value proposition.
Let's use the consumer okay. as a word as opposed to—
Well, for example, if let me take it this direction and point me another one, which I know you well. If I don't answer your question, for example, somebody renting a LEED certified project, that particular person is going to have a list from the rating system checklist of all the different strategies and sustainable features that have been incorporated into the project, whether it is a renter, whether it is a homeowner, a single family, whether it's a multifamily developer, affordable housing developer, an Army project working on an Army base.
Military bases.
Absolutely. Yeah. In Utah. National parks. We just completed a 64 condominiums for park rangers, south rim of the Grand Canyon. So each one of these different clients, if you will, are looking not only for the sustainable third-party verification, but at the same time, they want to be able to say that they had a LEED project. Now, in the environmental community, there's a huge disconnect with the appraisal industry. Oh. So the second part of that discussion is what is the value proposition, and whether it's Energy Star, it's all the green building programs. One of the big things that's going on right now with HUD is to be able to put a value on a sustainable house. We've got we're working with a very large hundred and it's a lot of houses. Who knows how many they're going to build? Pulte in Las Vegas, Villa Trias. It's a 186 house development. We certified over 60 so far. All but four have been platinum or highest level of certification. But what my point is that on either side of that development are competing product, if you will, townhouses, single-family homes, detached and attached. And Our particular project is Energy Star certified. It's Environments for Living Green certified. And if Brad Townsend's out there, please give me a call, Brad. At the same time, LEED Platinum. Now, the projects on either side have zero certifications, but they all three projects appraise the same. It's a major disconnect because there's clearly no more value. And so, you know, from an industry point, the appraisers that look predominantly at comps don't have a mechanism where they can put value. And so our proposition, our value proposition starts, as you know, from materials manufacturers all the way through the design community. And both of you two are, you know, extraordinary architects. And I've known you since the beginning of time. And this set of plans and the swales and the channels and the permascapes is phenomenal. And you've even got your legend there with all your I want to talk to you about a couple of those plant species. But at the end of the day, we work with the whole team and bring value to the team. And our rating system, a lot of people, you know, want to define a project by the LEED rating system. That's not how I approach it. What I want to do is see how our rating system can complement your designs.
Thank you very much for that answer.
Well deserved.
I have a follow-up question.
Oh, thanks. I don't get a question. All right.
Go ahead, Jay.
You're kicking him under the table.
Okay, I am kicking you. Why don't we take a quick break, and I'm going to ask you a question. I'll ask it now, and then you can contemplate it. So when we come back, we'll hit the ground running. The question would be, what will it take in the industry of appraisals to make sure there's they realize some type of a difference, and there is. And we'll be right back with the Green Roundtable.
Hello, this is Michael Dixon. Internationally acclaimed Metropolitan Opera baritone Dmitri Varostovsky will perform a one-time-only opera gala concert with the Phoenix Opera Orchestra and Chorus Tuesday, January 10th at the Orpheum Theater. We've seen the sensational singer in the Met's live HD broadcasts. Now hear him live in concert January 10th. It'll be the musical event of the season. Get tickets now at the Orpheum box office and at phoenixopera.org.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. Welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is the Green Roundtable every first Tuesday from 3 to 4. And, of course, starring Eric Koss and Frank Clementi. In studio guests, we have Richard Zimmerman from Sonoran LEED for Homes. This is interesting. I had a question. I beat Frank to the punch. I said, how do you get the appraisal industry to recognize the difference in value? It's not the cookie-cutter approach anymore. There's real value to it. How do you do it?
Well, it's a pretty detailed answer. The short answer, though, is it really starts with HUD on a national level, where they are looking at a number of the different strategies and putting a value to it. It's not as simple as the early energy-efficient mortgages, where all they effectively did is allow someone to borrow more money. We know where that kind of went. Based on the reduced maintenance and the durability issues, they would then allow somebody to borrow more money under, and again, the paperwork originally on those was extensive, and other lending institutions would beat those rates. So it didn't go anywhere, but it really has to start at a national level.
So, Richard, would there be a possibility Thank you very much. Would it, there a possibility where the LEED group could establish their own schooling or educational program, and that wouldn't work, huh?
No. One of the things that's interesting about the different LEED reading systems, especially in the residential, and my focus is on the residential side, not on commercial for LEED for new construction, LEED commercial interiors, LEED existing buildings. Those are a number of the commercial programs available in reading systems through USGBC. My focus is, that's why it's Sonoran LEED for Homes, is just on the residential. So we'll the projects that I'm involved with are affordable housing with Habitat, for example, single family, and you had a question on that. Don't let me skate around that in a second here, with the value to a homeowner, but also multifamily all the way up to three stories, and we do mid-rise, which is all the way up to nine stories. So, and again, 51% or more would have to be residential. We do some mixed use, but more than 51% have to be residential occupants. So we're involved in a lot of different projects. I have projects currently from Albuquerque, Santa Fe, Utah, all the way over to California, Vegas, Carson City. So we have a lot of different, and just very, very lucky to be especially the affordable housing industry has really embraced our brand. And the main reason, again, is because it allows them to borrow borrow more money for affordable housing projects. So to your question, though, Frank, to follow up, and if I missed it, I know you're not going to let me off the hook here. What is the value to the homeowner? Mm-hmm. We've had a number of single families recently that has been really motivated by the wife. Different reasons. Typically, when the husband gets involved, it's more of a resale value, the LEED brand, what does it mean on a future resale value? That's kind of an interesting discussion. We talked about it earlier with appraisals. But a lot of times, though, we've got two right now where the wives are really sort of the champion of sustainability in the household. And it really is all about the kids. It's part and parcel to educate the kids on all the different materials, assembly process, low VOCs, efficiencies with, you know, clear story window designs and passive lighting, passive ventilation, all the stuff I know that you know more about than I do, Frank, and also Eric. But from a design perspective, because you all start, you know, your professional studies in architecture with that. But that's really the value proposition. And inevitably, the husband gets involved. And I'm not trying to dish the husbands, but inevitably they get involved. And, you know, and the next thing you know, it becomes a big focus of them, usually when we're close to the end. And it's always an interesting discussion. But so different people have different objectives when it comes to sustainability. They're as different as the individuals.
Yeah, and what we found, too, is I think there's more of a value for the big
point of view
for the big home builders, in terms of, we work with a lot of people that maybe do an individual home, and they're so involved with it that they're convinced that they don't need this third party to come in. They can see everything that's going on. Now, there's a lot of reasons that that's not true. There's a lot of things they can't see, and that's why it's great to get it LEED certified. But think about it, when you're a big builder and you're building 200 homes and the home's already done, and now you're trying to sell it to someone, if you can have that third-party certification, and now you can really prove that it happened. Because most people did not see their home get built. Most people had nothing to do with the building of their home. So that's where I think it's a really, really great tool for the consumer.
Huge, huge point. Unfortunately, in this particular environment with foreclosures and short sales, the multifamily builder is under huge financial pressure. Every dollar makes a difference, and justifiably so. But at the end of the day, though, your point is right on, and that is that a lot of people that will embrace the LEED brand, it also gives them an opportunity to go through, you know, our checklist, as you know, both of you know, I know, but especially with our project, there's 136 credits totally, and there's probably about 250 sub-credits totally in the LEED rating system. And so someone who decides to go, and even if you don't go for the LEED rating system, the checklist itself, which is available online, mm-hmm. help somebody. company.
Yes.
That is extremely valuable for anyone wanting to look at sustainability and how to define it. But at the end of the day, the rating system and the LEED certification will give a production builder an opportunity to go through and say, not only here's what we've done, but also here's, to your point, Eric, here's what we've gotten certified.
So are you noticing... You know, you were one of the – I believe you were the first LEED rater for LEED for Homes in the state. So you've been kind of doing this from the very beginning. And I think when you first started, things were probably economically going a little bit better than they are now. Like you talked about, the big home builders have taken a big hit. Even in spite of the economy, are you is it gaining strength with some of the bigger production builders?
No, not really. A couple builders here locally have done a phenomenal job of creating their own brand. But at the end of the day, for those of you in the audience, though, if someone talks about sustainability, don't be shy. Go ask them what it means. Ask them for, to your point, Eric, ask them for a list of what is sustainable and assemblies and what are they doing and what are they warranting. And talk about durability. Talk about indoor air quality. Talk about materials efficiency. These are all things that, you know, that are timeless, whether they're associated with a green building program or not. These are questions that all of us in the consuming public should be asking. And the internet is phenomenal because you can find out so much information. I think, you know, in our project, Eric, of all the architects I've dealt with, and I probably there's several hundred architects I've dealt with, and right now we have 14 multifamily projects. Each one of them has an architect. But you know, what's been so interesting about our project is your passion for product and material specification. And that's where a lot of this really starts, is not only the materials, but also the final assemblies. And again, don't be afraid to ask these questions and take a pad of paper and write down the answers. Because and research it. A couple phone calls, but again, both all your APS SRP, both of them have phenomenal utility programs. Our downtown project, APS just launched a multifamily incentive program where it's anywhere from $650 to $900 per unit as an incentive. For efficient construction over and above the financing that's going on already. So the utilities have some phenomenal programs mm-hmm. that are available not only at the multifamily level, but also all the way down to the homeowners. And, of course, as you know, Steve Nash has signed on with APS, so it's always great to see him.
It is. And guess what? We're at the end of the show already. Richard, give out some contact information. How do they get in touch with
you? Well, the best way, as I initially mentioned, go to the USGBC website. It's USGBC.org and go to the LEED for Homes page. The best way to get there, USGBC.org/homes. There's a whole list of providers there. I'm on the provider list in Sonoran out of Phoenix. And, you know, and again, if there's interest, you know, don't hesitate to call any of the providers. Would love to talk to you, especially about multifamilies. But at this point, we're anxious to basically share sustainability with anyone who wants to hear about it.
Excellent. Eric, how do they get in touch with you?
You can reach us. We're Cost Design and Build. You can reach us at 602-374-5757 and on the web at costdb.com.
Frank.
602-540-3773, and my website is ClementeDesignIsGreen.com.
And Richard Zimmerman, thank you so much for being in-studio guest. Eric Haas, always nice to see you. Frank Clementi, we'll see you next month with another special guest. And all I could say is go green. New Year's resolutions, green resolutions. And we'll do something like that maybe the start of every show, some a little bit of green. That could be like a song.
Yes, a little bit
there
of
was
green.
A song about that. Anyway,
right, I'll bring the facts. Frank will get the theme song for it.
Yeah, and I'll bring the women. And okay, everyone have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.